This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling, the Raw After WrestleMania edition. What a weekend it's been. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. He is Jonathan Hood. All right, boy, a lot of things went into tonight's show. So I'm just going to start by asking this. What was the biggest surprise of the night?
Oh, my God. I didn't know this is going to be a two-hour special. Well, Gabe, Brian, we have officially a Paul Heyman family.
Yes.
That's emerging here. It's one thing for Seth Rollins to come out and he to get a chance to really explain his end, or Heyman to get a chance to explain his part of what happened at WrestleMania. But Bron Breakker aligning himself with Seth Rollins, I like it. Because, you know, like down the road, Seth and Braun will have an issue that even pushes Braun even out there more for a heavyweight title matchup, or just like this one of the best babyface in the company. So just them being aligned together says that Heyman's back in business is trying to have more than just one client.
Yeah, and especially one where we've seen him sort of do this in the past, and it's like, all right, you have Brock, and then you have others where it's like, all right, well, they're not really main eventers. Bron Breakker is a star. He's a future star. He's right knocking on the door of stardom. So to have him align with Heyman, to have him align with Rollins, that's a guy that could be a Mania main eventer one day. Not something I expected, and a pretty fun way to end Raw, which the last few years, Raw after Mania has sort of been eh.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, the crowd was hot. It was a really good show, despite Brian, right before we hit go here, you jokingly said, oh, what do we have, two matches? Well, no, we had three.
Right.
But it still was a good show. Like, it still moved along. And honestly, like, I wasn't expecting Bron Breakker at all. Wasn't expecting anybody else until Roman came out. Because I wasn't expecting Roman to be there, because traditionally Roman has taken time off after Mania, and maybe this is an angle where they can kind of set him up for him to go away, for CM Punk to go away, and this new group can kind of do their own thing and start to get some legs and breathe. I also wonder, with Becky Lynch's turn tonight, does she become a part of this? Mm. Like, I think that's worth contemplating, to see if they put, you know, add a female to the group with Becky Lynch now that she is a heel aligned with her husband, who is a heel. I think that's a possibility if they wanted to do that down the line.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, so from Becky Lynch's standpoint, I don't know. Somebody said on Twitter that I had thought that Becky Lynch was going to be a heel. We've done so much content, I don't know where I said that. I don't know.
Wait, someone tweeted at you going, hey, great call. And you're like, that's, oh, yeah, it was genius by me.
Dude, I don't know where I said that. I don't know. Maybe the New Japan show I might have said to somebody. I don't know when it was, but yeah, I'm happy that I got something right. But I'm just happy for Becky Lynch, for her to return. But here's the thing. I guess that's the reason why the Bayley wasn't available, because they want to turn Becky against Lyra. That's fine. I just want to know what's next for Becky. I just know a lot of turns on the heel side that's happening. It's easy to make a heel, and Triple H is making a lot of heels over the last 6 months. That's for sure. Now Becky's one of them.
Well, there's some heel turns. I was expecting your boy Sammy to turn heel.
Yes. I was waiting for that whole time. I was like, here it comes. And like, I would be excited that he's in the main event. Also, I was like, all right, he's turning into Dolph Ziggler, where he's just getting fed to champions. But the whole time, it's like, I watched all the yeeting because I was just waiting for the turn. I was waiting for the Haluba kick. I was like, here we go. And even the crowd, you noticed when Sammy just sort of jumped off and looked at him, they're like, what's happening. Yes. But it didn't happen. I guess they wanted to save something for SmackDown.
Yeah. So I think that with Breakker and Rollins, guys, are we going to get like a pairing of CM Punk and Roman Reigns? Because they have a reason now to be able to go after this Paul Heyman family or whatever. They got to be on the same side now. They have a reason to.
Yeah. Do you think we get that right away? Or is this a way that the tack tonight and the new heel, or at least the start of a faction? I don't know if just two people plus a manager is a faction quite yet, but the kind of the baseline of that, is it better off that those two kind of go away for a month or two and allow those other two to kind of focus elsewhere, run roughshod, then we get a return where they both come back and then start their chase of them? I don't know if I think I would get into this more if Punk and Roman went away at least through Backlash and allowed the other two to kind of start running roughshod over some other people and build them up a little bit before you have that big Roman Punk showdown.
You know we're waiting because the main event to Backlash is going to be Cena Orton. Like, yeah. Roman and Punk teaming up is going to be a main event. So they're not working Backlash and being told, like, oh, yeah, you guys aren't on last. They're like, eh, then we're good. Like, we'll sit home for a little. You let us know the show, we can go on last, because that's all they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, Cena Orton, it will be that flashback that we used to see when they were back and forth. It'll just be like one more time. You know, and I'm not expecting Orton to win the championship, but I just like the idea that they're going to have at least one more run, except for the first time ever, it's going to be Cena as the heel and Orton as the babyface. It's flipped. It'll be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I am more interested with Bron Breakker involved than I was on Saturday night. When Heyman and Rollins were just together, it's like, okay. Bron Breakker, honestly, as they were walking away, I'm like, this is like a 2025 version of Evolution almost, you know, where you have the new, Bron would kind of be the Orton slash Batista guy, you know, Seth Rollins kind of following in Triple H's footsteps, obviously no Ric Flair necessarily, but I guess that's what Paul Heyman almost represents is, you know, kind of this older, wiser guy that can, you know, pass down all the information that he's gathered over the years from all the different territories he's been in.
Hey, he took a Superman punch tonight. The man can go.
I'm just trying to think about those old Evolution vignettes. Is that Paul with his jacket off and just the vest with two blondes on either arm like Flair? Remember that? It's like the bar scene where like Paul Levesque had this rich, beautiful hair and he's got women over. So who's doing that part of it? Who's got the women? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Seth. How about that? How about that?
Yeah, and then Becky turns face again when she attacks Seth.
Sure. I think it's fun. We saw a friend of the program, Rusev, show up. That's good. Good to see him.
Sure. I guess we're look, we knew he was gonna come back to interfere in a tag match without a tag partner and just come out and again, I think we were all hopeful that New Day was actually going to get a run out of this. I think the obvious answer here is New Day is not going to get a run out of this because they were just used as a tool to bring out Rusev.
Well, Rusev won't lose this first match now. I'm almost guaranteeing he will beat Otis or Tozawa or both of them, honestly. So he has that going for him.
Handicap.
Yeah.
Let's just, as well. They're pretty much preliminaries. I mean, if you're going to beat up two guys, it's got to be those two guys, I guess. If you're going to, they couldn't find anyone else to put him on the card. Just like, okay, beat those two guys up. Okay. And he got babyface pops. And it's hard to boo Rusev, man. Everything he's gone through, taking off the card in AEW, people appreciate him. So I'm not sure. I guess he's going to come across as a heel, but I'm not sure how many boos he's going to get. People like that guy. Rusev Day chance. You know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he's over. But also, like, I don't feel bad for him because if any of the reports are real, he kind of did some of this to himself.
Yes.
When you refuse to do business, like, that's more on you. I don't have sympathy for you, I guess.
I agree.
Well, I'll root for you if you give me something interesting in WWE. I don't have a problem with that, but.
This is not that, though. This, like, him and American Alpha, not exactly interesting.
No, it's just a way to reintroduce him and show his dominance and until you find something he agrees to, I guess.
He'll be beating Braun at Backlash. Like, I feel like Braun's that guy, like, hey, you're big and intimidating. Go take a loss to someone and make them look good.
Oh, Strowman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just go that route.
Yeah, which I think makes a lot of sense. I guess, you know, we had also had the start of the show. Let's go ahead and talk about it. You know, you're just kind of hinting at it there. Jay Hood, John Cena attacked by Randy Orton to open Raw and hitting yet another RKO out of nowhere. I did enjoy, though, Cena updating us on how many dates he has left. I thought that was a nice little touch to the heel promo before Orton came out to give him the RKO of listing the dates. I said 36. Here's how many I've been at. Here's how many you have left. I like that countdown for Cena. I thought that was a nice touch in the promo.
You say I can't wrestle. I don't have to wrestle. I just got to show up. Hell of a line. That's for the sycophants on social media. Just so you know, I'm not going to be bringing the rolling bag to Des Moines. I'm going to go show up when I want to show up. That's it.
Yeah.
You gotta love that.
Yeah, not 27 title defenses, 27 right. appearances.
That's the thing. When you put it like that, it's like, oh, that's not a lot. Because some of those European tours, you're going to check off three in a week. Like, you're going to do Raw, you're going to do SmackDown, then you're at the PLE. There's three gone right away. I feel like of those 27, how many actual matches are we going to see?
I mean, you know how many pay-per-views are left. He's going to do maybe half of those, not all of them. He could appear at them, but he won't wrestle all of them. Don't forget the Clash of the Castle coming up.
Yep.
They're going to be at Petco Park in San Diego, one of my favorite cities, in November. Like, what? And there's Neitzel there in a dark room saying, come on, AmFanFeel. Can you get it ready? For God's sakes. Just Let's one go. Time. Come on. He's marching up to the legislature in Wisconsin saying, what the F? What are we doing here? We can have event here in this city. Milwaukee.
Again, I got to circle 2027 because we already know that the Royal Rumble is happening in, is it Jeddah? Is it Riyadh? I'm not sure. It's happening in Saudi Arabia. That's all I know. Yeah, so it's happening in Saudi in 2026. So I'm hoping for AmFam 2027 for the Royal Rumble. But I mean, yeah, I mean, when you start figuring that out, so Orton's certainly on the list. I don't know if CM Punk's going to end up being on the list. As much as I would love to see another Punk John Cena match on the way out, I don't think, because as historic of the rivals as Cena and Orton are, CM Punk and Cena made better music together in the ring than Cena Orton did.
Yeah.
Like Punk was the better dance partner and they had more memorable matches where the better storylines were probably Cena Orton.
So in terms of actual PLEs right now, there's six more announced the rest of the way. So you have Backlash, you have Money in the Bank in LA, mm-hmm. you have SummerSlam at MetLife, you have Paris pay-per-view, they're expecting an Australian PLE, and then Survivor Series at Petco.
He'll make some of those. Not all, but he'll make some of those. I find it interesting, no Cody Rhodes. I wonder, is Cody going to be at SmackDown? It was not advertised. So I don't know when we're, because Cody's got to be able to speak on this, and where does he fit in this? I'm sure he's going to want his rematch, but when, where, how does he feel?
But again, I don't have a problem with him taking some time off. A, because he's earned it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been around for a while doing all the circuits, doing literally everything. So if he takes a month off, or it's not even, well, I guess, is it a month from today? When is
May 10th. It's like,
oh, it's May 10th.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks from Saturday.
Okay. All right. So he can at least take off through Backlash, you know, take a couple weeks here and then show up after Backlash. I don't mind him going away for a couple of weeks and just kind of laying low in the weeds and again, taking that time off, letting something else breathe before he comes back and inserts himself in, because clearly he's going to insert himself in. Man, so you've got six PLEs. Maybe they add another one. Does he drop it at Survivor Series, or does he drop it on like a Monday Night Raw? Because Survivor Series, like, he's signed through. I mean, he talked today on McAfee and specifically said, once we hit December, after December, that's it. You won't see me again. And I feel like him saying December is important because, well, Survivor Series is in November.
Right. So there have been rumors of a Boston PLE in December, and that's sort of his send-off. So
okay.
Maybe that's where he drops it, at some random ass pay per view in December.
Well, but it won't be. But it won't be random ass if it's the John Cena, you know,
farewell.
Farewell show. You know, basically is what they would name it. But yeah, maybe I'm actually curious to when he drops this. Would it be at Survivor Series on a PLE? Would they do it just on Netflix? But if they do a PLE, that would make sense as well. Unless you want to turn him babyface and give him kind of a Sting type send off at that show. I don't know. I think that's going to be kind of curious when we figure out toward the end of, okay, who's he dropping it to? I think the odds on favorite right now would still be Cody. Mm-hmm. And where does he drop it?
Well, either way, I just know that Cena's having the time of his life, because whatever he's had on a yellow pad for 20 years, he's been able to put that out there on the microphone over the past few weeks. He's having a blast. looking back at that matchup against Cody Rhodes, man, it was five moves of doom. He did everything at his pace, at his timing, and he continues to insult the audience. It's great. He didn't do it on McAfee earlier today because he's more like John Cena himself, but the character that's a heel, he is he's been fantastic, and everything was good until he got RKO'd from Randy Orton. So, but again, he was insulting us, the fan, doing it on his own terms, and it's been really good work from John Cena. I heard Ariel Helwani on social media on his show saying he doesn't believe Cena as a heel. It's like some wrestling fans don't get it. Like, there's two sides of a coin. Just because you've seen somebody for 20 years doesn't mean that they can't turn. Some of the best baby faces become the best heels and vice versa. Perfect example is as Dominic Mysterio getting cheers today for his matchup as JD McDonagh made his return. So you can always turn as long as it's believable. As long as you have a good story behind it, you can always turn.
So I'll admit, like, Cena turned me during the promo tonight. Like, he had that first good promo and I was sort of losing it. And even tonight, the start of that promo, it felt so overacted, which is just sort of who he is. I'm like, this isn't working. But the way he sort of worked that crowd, which is a smart-ass crowd the night after Mania, and, like, threw it back in their face, I'm like, okay, this works. Like, this is honest stuff. And he definitely won me back over tonight as Cena as the heel.
Well, because Cena can work a crowd like very few can. And again, that comes with the 25 years experience and the let's go Cena sucks and being able to handle and deal with and be able to think on his feet. Because as we've seen, even somebody like Charlotte, who has been around forever, you know, can get rattled by crowds, you know, and the promos that her and Tiffy had where they both kind of got rattled. No, Cena has always taken everything in stride, and that's what he did again tonight. He just kind of took that thing right in stride and threw it right back in the fans and folded it into his promo.
We had Saraya on a few weeks ago. She told us he is the best ever at working that crowd and controlling the crowd, and nights like this show that.
So squeaky, can't hear you, squeaky, so squeaky, can't hear you, so squeaky. I'll give you the last word because I've lost my place.
Again, it can happen to happens to people all the time. And Cena, this is what you're saying? Oh, let me take this thing that I didn't know that you were gonna start chanting at me and fold it into my promo seamlessly.
We got a chance to get a glimpse, and I like this about day after WrestleMania. Is that you can get a glimpse of what could be the future. Yes, it was interference, but we did get Stephanie Vaquer against Io Sky. Man, we're going to get that in the ring one day, and that's going to be amazing. Just for the glimpse, it was great. Imagine what that looks like with a full match.
Yes.
I get it. Stephanie's got a match tomorrow for the NXT title, right? Like, you can't have either one of them lose, so that this had to be the ending, right? It had to be. It just makes sense. But damn it, I wanted an ending. Like, I wanted an ending because it was so good. But again, I get it. It's the way it had to be because, again, Stephanie's got a big match and you got to keep Io strong. But it was
– You know what that was, Brian? Good. That was – wait, who is that? Right. Oh, it's Roxanne Perez. I'm like, oh, okay. See, I know – hey, like, friends are helping friends here, right?
Right.
Triple H is like, I'll take care of you so we can promote NXT. But I'm like, who is it interrupting this classic? Oh, yeah. NXT talent. Okay.
And then at least you got the Julia and Rhea stare down also, and that little tease and that little nugget. So maybe you're building some stuff there.
Yeah. Could be something. I look forward to that. I like how they're planting seeds. I do. It's not like every time we talk about WWE is never perfect, but there's certain things that you can see they're trying to get to someplace. It's going to take a while. That stew's going to take a while. Get that, you know, but it's finally going to get there, and hopefully it pays off.
Yeah, I mean, the women's division right now is very top-heavy, like at the NXT level and at the main roster as well.
Yes.
But, like, there is some talent there and some stuff to work with, and, like, Stephanie going out there tonight, like, to fans that aren't watching NXT weekly, which I think a lot of people are, but not too many. Like, it's a good, like, oh, I want to watch more of that.
You were there for Stand and Deliver.
Yes.
You believe Stand and Deliver is better than WrestleMania 1, Night 1?
Yes, 100%.
You do. A number of people feel that way.
From a pure wrestling standpoint, without a doubt. Like, all the matches that Stand and Deliver delivered, it was just a fun wrestling night, and those matches just came through. Like, I'm not watching NXT weekly. The PLEs are really the only time I check in. But the women's match, the tag match, the ladder match, like, it was impressive.
The women's match, though, ultimately was top heavy, though, right?
Check out an interview with Stephanie as well on this page. She learned English over the last 5 months, by the way. 5 months ago, she did not speak English. And she's
pretty good. Yeah, working with her, right? Yeah. Her and EO. That's, boy, that's ballsy, right? EO and, and McCare, go ahead, do a promo battle.
Yeah.
And they're like, and it actually, people were patient enough to understand, like, all right, let's have the match. Let's go. Find me a referee. Let's go.
Well, yeah, because I think everybody understood, like, Oh, and then honestly, I thought Adam Pearce was about to have the biggest heel turn ever. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean, Adam? We're not getting this damn match. And luckily, he just sent the referee down like a good Raw GM. Otherwise, I was about to join friend of show Chelsea Green in my protest against all the GMs that are always against our girl Chelsea Green.
Brian, while we've been doing this special GKW Raw after WrestleMania, do you have an update, please, on Pat McAfee?
He still has a cough and he's still spitting all over the backstage. I think that's the latest we got. Cole is still waiting for that update also. Why couldn't anyone give him a damn update?
Someone give Cole an update, please.
Give me an update. Like, he's fine. He's coughing.
I mean, this happened so sudden. Our boy went down there with didn't even have his jacket on. Trying to slide into the broadcast. He had, man.
Let me just tell you. Academy Awards. Because we've never seen Joe Test more just disheveled, right? Shirt tail out, jacket off. He was on his way to the airport, right? He was gone. Like the jacket flipped over the arm. All right, guys, that's how it goes. We'll see you at SmackDown. And all of a sudden, he's, please, Joe, come back. Joe, there's something going on. All right, here I come. Save the day.
It was Vegas. He was at the blackjack table already. They had to pull him away.
I love the idea of the jacket over the table. You notice that it's on the tip. All right. I don't know. Glasses on. All right. What are we doing here? I mean, I love that so much. Just a little detail. Because it didn't make sense for him to be like in full suit and like ready. Right. No, he's got to look like crazy. Yeah. Like he never usually wears glasses on TV. He's got the binocs on. Like, okay, where am I? All right. And then does the play-by-play.
He was just backstage. Like, then
Cole does color his own show. It's great.
So weird.
Well, I mean, he's got tests. I mean, no offense to Cole, but that man's called some pretty big matchups in his time. I love that
so much.
It was fantastic. How do we feel about, because clearly Gunther McAfee is going to be something.
Gunther better win that, I guess, is how I would feel about it.
I was just hoping that Gunther could squeeze harder. I was hoping they would squeeze harder. I mean, I know that McAfee turned purple, but I was looking for other colors, and so that dog wouldn't be in McAfee. Woof, woof, woof.
I did enjoy the McAfee boys jumping the railing to try to go save their boy. I did enjoy that part of WWE officials holding back the rest of the McAfee show as they tried to, you know, jump in and stop Gunther from choking out their boss. Is he going to have to sell this on the McAfee show tomorrow?
They pull a Tony and wear a neck brace?
How about, who's that, AJ Hawk? Maybe get him out of, maybe away from the bookcase and maybe into the studio now. he looks like that, you know, he's been kidnapped every day on that show. So maybe get Hawk maybe in the studio, let him drive it and let him just do the show and Pat off the show. Pat probably should maybe spend a little time off the show based on what we saw from Paul Heyman. Some odd things said.
Non-PG, yep.
Very non-PG show. That show is off the rails today, man.
Paul was unhinged. Paul was unhinged today. Brought up Shannon Sharp and his lawsuit on ESPN.
Don't know if that should have been.
Paul did not give a damn.
There's no dump button apparently in Bristol during that time. I mean, my God. Somebody stop the show. Somebody put me some color bars up there. Just like, nope, we're going to go to commercial. There's a lot of shit that was said on that show. So maybe Pat needs to sit down, maybe go to Bristol, have a sit down.
That's fine. Yeah, we can do that.
I'd like that very much.
Maybe he could talk to you. He's going to be in my neck of the woods. He's going to be up in Green Bay later this week. So maybe all the Bristol people just talk to him in Green
Bay. Is he going to do the neck brace at the draft since Tony Khan did it last year at the draft?
He's got that dog in him. Roof. Roof. And by the way,
that Thursday.
I mean, ESPN, I know, and ESPN WWE have a relationship. Perfect timing to have all this WWE shit on this show. during draft week. I'm sure they really appreciate that after First Take. I'm just saying. I'm sure they really enjoy all of this on draft week. It's only on the most important week of the year. Yeah, draft week. That's all right. Let's talk about WWE storylines. Let's talk about him being choked. A little tough.
I mean, I feel like everyone just unhinged. We also saw today Karrion Kross. Was that today or yesterday where he sort of just went unhinged?
Okay. That was last night, I believe. I believe that was last night on whatever post show, because there were a bunch of different post shows that were going on. I'm pretty sure Sam that Roberts. Was last night.
From they have too much content. When I left Allegiant on Saturday, which was an hour and a half after the show ended, they still were in like the parking lot. I was like, what is that crowd over there? And it was Big E and Tess. And I was like, how is this still going? And there are people out there just watching. I was like, hold on.
I'm going to take my glasses off like Pierce, and I'm going to look at you directly. You're telling them about too much content? Have you seen our YouTube? Seen our YouTube channel? You talk about content. What about our YouTube channel with
variety.
18 different indie shows? 18 different you know what? You are their content. What about ours? There is no such thing.
I wanted to scout. I wanted to help them out. ID program. I'm helping out.
Oh, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get an angle. There he is.
There's not a person that cares less about the ID that's program than Brian. Let me tell you this. Nobody cares less about the ID program than Brian Rowe.
Unless his circus clowns go to WWE that he watches, then he's pissed off.
That is true. No argument here.
No, I just think that and I guess we're headed for a McAfee Gunther match, and it's like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
And then what? Then Michael Cole is the second. He's going to be there too at ringside, saying that all announcers shouldn't be touched when that was commonplace all the time under Vince, all the time.
You're going to write McAfee off. Like, shouldn't we be closer to football season when he actually leaves the company?
Brother, let me just tell you, it's off the rails. It's a day after Mania. Hey, it's a day after Mania. It's great. I just wanted this Cole remember. I just have one word for him: Heidenreich. Does he recall being pressed up against the wall? By Ryan Reich. I just wonder, does Cole remember that? I would say you should stay out of these wrestling things. Just commentate poorly.
Agreed.
Yeah, commentate poorly.
Anything else that we missed from tonight's Raw after WrestleMania?
I do have a question, Gabe.
Okay.
I'd like to know, what do we make of Finn Balor being on the outside of Judgment Day? Is Finn? Did we not talk about this this week? Like, is Finn the baby face or the heel? Because if Dom's getting cheers and now JD McDonagh's back and everyone's happy except Finn, Finn's on the outside. But I feel like that group is turning baby face,
right? Liv Morgan, we assume.
Raquel.
But is Liv Morgan? Are they really baby faces?
Yeah, that's the weird part. We assumed that Finn was the babyface against the heel Judgment Day.
Right.
But is it Dom that becomes the face against Dom, Judgment Day?
Yeah, it seems like Finn has to do some work to convince everybody else to join him. And
Dom gets the boot. I think Dom might be the route.
I mean, maybe we got to get away from Vegas, but I feel like the crowd was behind Raquel and Liv. They were behind Dom. Dom's a babyface, by the way. Yeah.
I think everybody's going to be, I think, behind Dom everywhere going forward. I am curious to see if crowds are going to be behind Liv and Raquel. And if they are, then it becomes simple. The group turns babyface and Finn turns on everyone. He still is the heel and he leaves the group.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how that works, because it's like Dom is getting all these reactions. We talked about this last night. When he was there at the desk, like he got all these monster cheers. They said for people that were at night two, that I had friends of mine that were there, Dom got huge applause. It was night two, right? For the Intercontinental title. Yeah.
But to your point, Gabe, huge applause. As the heel there, like him getting jumped by Judgment Day doesn't work.
No, he would have to jump Dom, and then everybody else comes to the rest.
Still working on his Rubik's Cube.
This is the big question, folks. Where is Rock? Why was he not there? People are wondering today. Where was he?
Yes.
because he could have saved night two at the main event, but he was not there. And Travis Scott's getting all the slings and arrows. Why was this man not there? What disconnect does he have with Triple H that he couldn't be there for a night? This sucks.
Yeah.
Is it possible he's still pissed off he didn't get his match against Roman last year?
Probably. Yeah.
I'll throw this out there. Wrestling Humble tweeted it, and I tend to agree. Big Dwayne just shows up on any random night on a WWE show, so the writers have to write something for him, so he's happy without any guarantee that he's coming back to finish the story. Triple H must hate him because there was no mention of him in the 8-hour speech that he did at the Hall of Fame.
Okay. That's the problem. I'm just telling you.
Do we have the bad blood payoff yet? With the, was it 1, 2, 3? Do we have that payoff yet?
Yeah, I don't know what the one. What's the one? We got 3, 2. I don't know.
Yeah.
All the stuff that we're happy with Triple H with, all I can tell you is like the old man wouldn't have tolerated that. Mm. He had to get dates on you. Otherwise, he wasn't doing it. This all in and out shit, that wasn't working under Vince. It just wasn't. Because that's what Brock, Taker, Hogan, whatever, like, you need to lead up to our biggest event, not this set up the angle and then just go away.
Right.
Especially can't do that.
Because story-wise, like, Cena turning was unnecessary to him winning the title. Like, he didn't get the opportunity because he sided with The Rock. He got the opportunity because he won Elimination Chamber. He then beat Cody with Travis Scott, sure, but, like, there was no need for Dwayne in any part of that.
Gabe, I'll lay it out to you, okay? I'll lay it out to you. Is we go into WrestleMania where you have Cena and Cody going back and forth in a promo battle, and The Rock's not involved in any of it. It's just babyface versus babyface, and maybe initially it gets booed out of the building faster than you say Batista and Brock Lesnar, but then The Rock shows up, and then Cena turns heel at WrestleMania, and then he wins the championship. I mean, I would have tolerated that more than Rock setting it up and then never coming back. I would have had Cena. If Cena turned at WrestleMania, I've been fine with it. That's better than what we saw.
But I mean, obviously there was some conflict on his calendar. I don't know. I think he was in Hawaii. I don't know if he's doing Moana stuff down there. Have no idea, to be honest. But clearly this date didn't work for him. And I'm guessing that didn't just pop up.
But also, Dwayne, if you're going to screw up storylines, Moana 2 can't suck as much as it did. Just, I mean, one of them's got to be better. Just throwing that out there. Am I the only one on that?
I haven't seen it, but, you know. Oh, okay. I believe you're the only one on the Moana 2 hill.
My bad.
You and your obtuse wrestling. It's so
fucking I was not aware. I thought you guys were locked in on that. It was Dwayne. It's wrestling. Like, it's wrestling related.
Yeah, no, wrestling adjacent. Yeah, just, I mean, as,
take that
you're
down.
You're a fan of Moana too?
No, I don't even know her. I don't even date her. I have no idea.
All right.
Well, like, on that note,
what did I say wrong?
tell me. Tell
that's
lies.
Right. Thank you, Seth.
Thank you to everybody who has tuned in over the last 3 days. Again, we're not going to have our typical live show coming up on Thursday with the NFL draft. We've got some other stuff we have to take care of. But again, we've had a lot of live reaction after WrestleMania Night 1, after WrestleMania Night 2, obviously after tonight. Brian's got a lot of content up there from his time in Vegas over WrestleMania weekend. So, boys, it was an interesting in the ring, but I had fun reacting each and every night afterwards with you as we try to continue to grow here on GKW with The Rock looking very, very
maybe
confused.
Once he figures out the Rubik's Cube, he'll show back up.
We'll talk to you Tuesday after NXT.
You're going to be here by yourself for that one, Jay.
I'll be fine. I'll be glad to do that because that's going to be hot too. Fire it up, Brian. I'll be with you Tuesday.
New tag champs.
And then Wednesday. And then Thursday. Every day, we're going to beat Fightful. Every night, we're programming. Every night.
But it's a sincere thank you to everybody. Check out the YouTube, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. We'll be back, no, not tomorrow, next week here on GKW.